my mind and my body. But then one thing I say and always keep me.
This world shall know pain.
His blood!
Wakanda forever!
What is up, peeps? It is time for another episode of Chibi No Podcast. The first time we're doing this with video, I might add. I'm so excited for this. You got me, your host, David the Smash Fan.
I'm not that energetic, but damn, Mr.
What's up, Andrew Burton? I'm half awake, half asleep.
And I'm not on camera, but it is Boricua Senpai.
And he is here on Discord, so you'll be hearing him. No worries. I got to say, Japorion, you look so evil. You look... I have to take a picture. I can't take the picture.
You have
no,
the camera.
But Boricua-senpai, we have to watch this. He looks like a total emo. He has his hair like over one eye with his beanie. Like he's about to sing, because tonight will be the night that I will fall for you.
I don't know the lyrics.
Don't make me change my mind. You know the lyrics.
I won't live.
To see you. Okay, anyway, we might get copyrighted for that song.
So this is Chibi No Podcast, more like Chibi No Video.
Chibi No Video? Yeah, Chibi No Video Podcast. That's what it is. Yeah, if this is your first time ever watching this podcast, and this is going to be your first time watching the podcast.
Well, they'll be watching because mostly like audio. Like people listen to their...
Most people listen to it. Well, the one person that listens to us. But this is the first time that people will actually see us.
Yeah, and if they want to join in that way, they can watch it this way too. Some people do that.
Yeah. People can recognize us and get our signatures and autographs.
Yeah, that's not what we're aiming for. But okay, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, but anyway...
Don't forget, this episode was brought to you by Doc... I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, we're not sponsored by anything, so we don't even try. Okay.
I'm looking at it.
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. It's a podcast. We just talk about nerdy things, movies, anime, comic books, whatever it may be.
Books.
We talk about books, but
bro,
we've talked about it twice.
You've only read the synopsis of a book.
No. Okay. All right. Let's do this.
Okay.
How about we do this? I've read more of a book than you have when you announced that synopsis. I read the Halo Ghost of Onyx book after you announced that you read the synopsis.
No. Okay, let's.
Yeah, but granted, you've read that book already.
Yeah, but that was like 10 plus years ago.
All right, so that doesn't matter.
Let's bring it since it's been quite a bit. Really? All right, so actually, let me give you the scooping here.
No one wants to know about books right now. Okay.
See, we talk about books. We promise books. I'm gonna give them books. All right. First of all, I did finish my book like a month ago.
Okay, how'd it go?
It actually went well.
Tell us.
It was amazing. But before I do that, let me be honest and. A little bit of a secret. I need to activate my trap card.
So, what is this?
I actually know the whole story before I actually read the book. Well, partially. Wow. hold on. Let me finish this. I actually watched because they made a TV show on Apple Plus, Apple TV.
Okay. That's why he wanted to read it.
And that's why I wanted to read it.
Because he wanted to watch it. And then see what the differences were from the book. So he didn't read nothing.
No, hold on. Let me correct you here. So after I watched this, and this is like 2022, I decided to read. The show came out a while ago. I've been rewatching
okay,
a couple
okay,
times.
Okay.
So I decided to you guys, I'm gonna read the book, and I did. I finished the whole book. Man, I gotta tell you. First of all, the way that they adapted between the movie and the book the TV show and the book has been completely different. And the book is more or less from the beginning to the very end, from a linear perspective. In the TV show, it's basically. You go back and forth from the past and the present, kind of like Godzilla, Monarch.
Okay.
So they do like the same approach on that as well. And the girl, that Asian chick from Monarch is also in the show as well.
I hate on her, but her character sucked ass so bad, dude.
But let me give you the book review, okay?
I hope they kill her off in the series.
Oh, she is.
She's annoying as a
Let me give you a book review, because people have been wanting this for a while.
I doubt
Nobody
that, but okay. Let's
we were just calling
it. Doesn't mean that we want it.
Just because of that, you guys are going to get it,
we
all right?
We were just calling it out.
No, just because of that, you guys are going to get it.
Okay.
So tell us really quickly, because we're going to lose people already. Okay.
So there's a story about this particular girl who lives in Korea who moves to Japan.
Okay.
In the 1900s, and basically goes to the story from her to her second generation of kids, and basically all the struggles that she incorporated after moving from Japan to Korea. Something that I didn't know, and something that I guess I recently found out that I found it very interesting. There was a lot of discrimination from Korean people in Japan. Every immigrant that came from Korea, people like hate it, and they think like pachinko, which is basically the name of the book, is a way for them to a lower way to make money, like mafia, like laundering, all that kind of stuff. So one of their kids becomes a pachinko owner. Basically, they have a stigma that Koreans are horrible people. They get really angry. They're uncultured. But they're trying to prove one of their kids how he became a prosperous individual in society and had to deal with the whole immigration, not being able to go into their home country and all of that. Dude, it really got to me, honestly speaking, because it talks about like immigrants, which many of us are. It talks about like all the difficulties for the first generation, all the struggles that they got to, and all the things that this particular chick struggled to the very end. And oh man, yeah, it's definitely a good book. I'll definitely recommend it.
Okay. And
hopefully, I commend you guys. The author is coming to Utah, so hopefully, I get to chat with
her. Don't forget. They struggle to the very end, but they're still struggling because Japan's very xenophobic.
That's got better. People love Korea.
Yeah,
now.
The old people need to die, though, so it'll be better.
That's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, okay. But they need to go out quicker.
But anyways, that's my book, synopsis of the book.
What's
the
book called?
Pachinko.
Oh, okay.
It's on Apple TV. You should watch it. It's a good show.
I'd rather read it so I know that I read it first before watching it.
Yeah, it's different, but sure.
Okay, good job. Thank you, Japorion, for your book thing.
All right, next.
Yay. I'll read another book. Okay, yeah. No more books.
It's going to take 2 years, so it's okay.
No. I'm in the wrong right now. So.
Okay, so first thing I want to talk about, and while I do this, I'm also going to plug in my laptop because it's about to die because I forgot to do that. But I want to talk about Godzilla Minus One. So we talked about this before. Great things. God finally got... It's the first Godzilla movie to ever get an Oscar nomination.
Visual effects.
That's right.
Whole rightly deserves it. But I did want to talk about what you two got to do. You guys got to watch it in black and white.
That's right.
Godzilla now, Minus One, Minus Color.
Yeah, Minus One, Minus Color. The actual minus everything. And I want to hear your thoughts on it because I heard some things from Mr. Mister and some things from UJ Porion. And the overall, I more from Mr. Mister is that this was a better experience.
Yes.
But yeah, so I want to kind of hear more about it from you guys while I plug this in.
So... for me, I'm not a black and white noir type of person. Like it's like for like those kind of films, I've just was always kind of, what's the word? Like turned off.
You like
off.
Colors.
Like, yeah, I like my colors. Like I'm not in the fucking 30s or 40s no more. Like fuck that shit. We ain't in that no more. Like when color was invented and the world got bright and colorful, that's when things, I'm just kidding. You know what I mean? But like with shows, like. I that's why I can't do, well, one, the show, in my opinion, is trash, but The Wizard of Oz, like, I can't do that. It's just bad for a multitude of reasons. But going into this, watching Godzilla Minus One and how they went about things, it really impressed me because, like, like if you were a Godzilla fan from back in the day and you watched... like the original first movie and then watch like a lot of the other black and white ones. Let's say, okay, if you watched them as a kid, they were scary. But if you watched them as an adult, those Godzilla films, they weren't scary, but you can understand the fear that people had in it. This Godzilla
That drop
minus,
kick is scary.
The
Godzilla That flying
minus,
kick, yeah.
That was a color oh, one. That was a color. One.
I know,
one.
I know.
Godzilla Minus One, Minus Color brought that fear, like that terror. I would say, yeah, terror, because, like, I wasn't afraid, but, like, just you could, it was terrorizing, like, how it was and how it brought about in the film. When you first see Godzilla again, but it's in, like, without any of the colors, it's just a terrifying monster, like, just super scary. It's a thriller when it comes to that, because you already know what's going on. Obviously, I've seen it multiple times, and seeing how he comes about in that new perspective is really cool. And then the one thing I told my brother that was, it's obviously a me thing, or maybe other people would say the same thing, but just because it was lacking the color, for me, when I heard the score, it was more apparent. Like, the score was just, for me, and obviously it's just a me thing, it was louder, it was more there, it was more up front.
he saw less color and he's like, I can hear better.
Yeah, pretty much. No, but like, I just
because you toned down one of the senses, so the other one seems to kick in. Like, it seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, so like when the drums kicked in or when Godzilla's theme was going in, and you just felt it. It was good. And then Godzilla's roars each time was just great. And coming from somebody who doesn't, like I said, don't like black and white, this slightly beats out the colored one for me.
Okay.
There are some parts where the colored version is better.
I would say the blue, especially when he's charging up his atomic breath the first time, that blue that you see,
the hue on his in his spikes,
it looks really cool. And the actual atomic breath with the blue, it looks really cool. But was that like a minus point?
It didn't make it worse. It's just that blue is so iconic for his character when they first brought it in. Because they didn't bring it into late years.
Right.
But when they did, it became iconic. And how they gave his atomic breath, like where his dorsal fins start protruding outwards.
Oh, that was a good addition.
It's such a good addition and so like scary because it's charging. So you know, like once it's right, it's
coming. Yeah.
You're screwed. And then like, it still felt the same, but it was just lacking that one little bit, and that was like seeing the blue hue. Like if they would have done minus one, minus color, but then just that blue hue of his atomic breath were to come in, that would have been the icing on the cake. That would have been just
Called when they do something like, because I know Akira Toriyama used to do like color pages, like not full color, but he used like a specific palette
like that. Yeah.
Do you know what it is, Boriko Senpai? Because I know you're very into like art and coloring. Like, what's it called when they use like a select colors like for everything? I know there's a name for it.
Same color value, like it's blue, different shades of blue, or
no? It's like they
like
just
say it's just black and white, but then they add like a blue to it randomly.
A tone?
Yeah, I don't
one tone.
I can't remember the name.
It's an accent color.
Yeah, it's something different, but it would have been cool if they had the accent.
Had the accent color just for his atomic breath would have been like a beautiful, but like I said, it slightly beats out the original for me. Because it impressed me so well. Because it's not the sense of like, this is better because it's black and white. It's like, I was coming in here like, okay, it's going to be the same film and it's just going to be black and white. It's okay. Like, that's how I felt.
But right.
Like, it impressed me because of how it just felt and how it went about it in that way. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm for this. Like, I was definitely a fan. So rumor has it that next month, I'm going to say maybe March, because we're pretty much January's ending, that Godzilla will be out on digital.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah, sorry, I'm looking through my notes for my art class monochromatic scheme.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be cool. Any other thoughts, Emoji Porion?
What's up? I hate my life.
Cut my life
into pieces. First of all, I'm glad that you actually appreciate this. I love watching black and white movies. I have like 5, 6, 7. I don't even remember how many do I have.
I have one.
And I gotta say, there's a reason why black and white movies were popular. I know like it's an unpopular opinion. A lot of people like their color. I get it. But there's something special about watching something in just two particular colors, because one, like you didn't mention, it enhances some of the senses and paying more attention to some of the information in there. At the same time, it's also kind of difficult depending on where you try to watch. A great example of that is when I play Ghost of Tsushima, they have the option to play black and white. It was fun for a little bit, and some of the battles were really cool, like very old samurai style. But while playing the game, it was really hard for you to like identify certain items and pick up certain items. So
it's interactive.
Right, but in this particular case, since everything is like continuous from beginning to end, it really showed like everything makes a lot of sense. What I really like at the very beginning of the movie is that they actually introduce the logo from Godzilla, from the company.
Oh,
the original logo.
The Toho one?
Yeah,
so they do the Toho, the new one, and then it's in color, and then it goes and fades away, and then it goes Toho black and white, and like the old school
film. The one from the 19th.
Oh, that's so sick.
And I was like, okay, yeah, okay, they know what they're doing. These guys.
Take my money.
Take it. I was like, Blu-ray box, Steelbook series, I got it, man.
Oh, 8K? Yeah. Get that 4K. 8K. It's coming out 8K. Watch this.
Re-release.
No, but I got to say that
the first 4D like Blu-ray.
Being in black and white, especially when you see the, because The Godzilla's texture is very different. You get to see more emphasis on like the contrast between some of the skin and all that. It looked really sick.
Because like when I watched it in color and black and white, when you look at his legs, they're more like coral reefy kind of things, like how and it kind of does the vibe. Yeah, it fits it. But then when it goes up to his body, it's more like a normal reptile, like scaly stuff. And then when it goes up to more of his neck, it's like Shin Godzilla, like scar, like like scar tissue around his face. So it the evolution of how they show it like that is fantastic. It's pretty
cool. Okay.
In addition to that, you know how the movie itself, being able to watch a movie in black and white set in the 1950s, it really fit the vibe in it.
Yeah.
And I seen like the first Godzilla, and I see a couple of Godzillas as well, but being able to see, like, primarily on the first Godzilla, you can actually take it to somebody wearing
a suit.
Now, of course, yeah.
But here it's like so realistic. So imagine watching an old Godzilla movie, but replace that suit with a realistic monster.
That'd be terrifying.
Dude, that's scary. And that's at the same time really cool.
Yeah.
So other than that, I think everything else was the same. I think the story, it's the same story, of course. They didn't add anything else, but there were a couple of shots that did look really, really scary. I was telling Diego, like, hey, we should just take a screenshot of this and put it as a wallpaper, like on your monitor. Amazing shots.
I wish I'd watch it, but I already made plans, but it's all good.
It's okay. Most likely they're going to release it.
Yeah.
I mean, a bunch of movies have released. Logan has black and white.
It does.
Mad Max has a black and white, the new one.
It does. So.
All I can say this is after we finished the film, I told Paul Japorian that like if this doesn't win their Oscar with the visual effects, they were robbed.
Yeah,
because what 12 or 32 people, I can't remember what the number was. It's small. It's just a group, like a small group, made that.
I think it's 35.
Made that
the effects and everything.
That movie, whereas like Ant-Man and the Wasp was like 700 people.
And that's actually more
terrible.
Even Guardians, who also got nominated in the same category, they have so many people, money.
They also put in exactly. $200 million.
But the fact they're able to make this a movie so good with that small
with $12 million, I think it was budget.
The definition of stretching your dollar showed
it was worth it.
And on top of that, what I was telling Japorian is with Godzilla releasing in IMAX, I feel like IMAX is very
nitpicky.
It's
clear. You can see like all the wrinkles. It's very detailed.
You can see all of the cheap, like when somebody starts doing like you can see the budget of the CGI.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bad. So like for that, for Godzilla Minus One to be like 95% perfect until the end, because we all know the end kind of was weird with the budget there. It was kind of weird. But like for that to be that good with a $15 million budget, it's like kudos to them. And like I said, I want them to win. Like they deserve it. Like one being the, like
or,
you said earlier.
Do you agree with the statement of winning above or are you gonna still suck off what's his name? Oppenheimer.
And Christopher Nolan, it's already in his mouth.
Do it if it actually was in the same category, but Oppenheimer is not there.
Yeah, not for visual effects. Well, he did practical effects.
If it was, would you pick Oppenheimer?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Or would you not want it to win because he didn't use practical effects? Because it's all about practical effects.
I think the practical effects, I think that's a lot of, it's an art. Being able to do that.
Yeah,
from,
it is.
Like, and there's a long effort in there as well, but I will. I'm conflicted, but I'm probably gonna lead more towards Godzilla, and the reason why is because this is like their movie for their country, and being able to specialize in something that they created was brought in America and made some money, but not to the point to this money. This movie has like I've been hearing a lot of people who love Godzilla, and they all agree that this is the best Godzilla movie of all. Time,
yeah, because this was just going to be like, hey, let's just put a movie out for the U.S. because they like Godzilla, and then it made money, and they're like, wait, how do they make more money than the whole effing country, Japan? It's like, hello, this is the U.S. We're bigger.
We have way more people.
Like our pinky's bigger than your freaking country. it's a fact. Anyways.
I'm glad that's what you said instead of other things.
Yeah, there's gonna be something else too.
it's a hit 100 million.
Has it really?
It hit 100 million.
Rightfully so. Yeah. I hope it gets more. I don't know if it's going to keep going up, but
I think so, especially with the Black and White release. It's going to increase their money quite a lot.
Rewarded for it.
It's good. So like I'm happy they hit that 100 million.
You got to the point of the guy who directed the first American Godzilla. I think it was one of the American Godzillas. He was looking at the movie, at this movie, and he was like so jealous because he's like, "Oh, that's how Godzilla should have been." Coming from that director,
the 2014 Godzilla, or
I think it's the 2014.
Legendary. You mean
the one from Monarch?
I believe so. I'm trying to don't quote me. It's one of the first American.
I mean, but it's
the first one, which was bad.
It's hard, but it's hard to like. It's very different the way we view Godzilla, the way we want it to be viewed, right? Like in all the Godzillas that the US has done, he's portrayed as some sort of hero. Where in Japan, yeah, he has been at times, but a lot of times he's just this
a monster.
He's a monster. That's all he is. He creates destruction. Whereas
product of nuclear
The 98 Godzilla, they tried to make him somewhat of a monster, kind of, but it still didn't really work. So I don't know.
So the bar has been set so high by this particular movie. Sadly enough, there hasn't been talks to make a sequel, which I feel like they should do it, but they haven't talked to the director who made this movie, and he kind of wants this as well because this is his baby.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anybody else to
touch it. Well, the thing is, I think he wants to, the director or the writers too, I think if I were them, like, I would only want to make a sequel or direct the sequel if I had the passion to make it. Like, I don't want to just do it because, like, this is another cash grab. Like, I put the same amount of passion into that first movie, then I will 100% make a sequel. But, like, if they don't have that same drive to, like, even write a script or to have the idea of what they want to do next, I don't want them to force it.
I do feel like he's very passionate on this. It's like, you know, it's like somebody from sequels. Mexico making a movie about Chapulín Colorado.
Yeah.
They need to make it right because they
Blue Beetle.
But yeah, we're not talking about that.
Okay.
But no, I do feel like this movie is definitely. I really wanted to win for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it deserves it.
One. Just give it the one.
Yeah.
Throw me a freaking bone here. No, he didn't. They don't need to be thrown a bone. I think they should win.
They should deserve it.
Yeah, they deserve it.
Rightfully so.
Well, we'll wait. Well, hopefully he will win it. We'll watch it.
When is March? I think the second week of March.
That's too long.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith needs to know now.
All I know is when I saw the team react to their nomination, I was
they were partying.
I got emotional watching. I was like,
they all got up and cheered.
Yeah, because I was like, this little team.
Yeah,
made
it was very heartwarming. Yeah. Very heartwarming. I felt good about it.
Where Disney's were like, oh, that's another day. I'm like, shut up.
Oh, 20 of our animators died. Throw them into the grip. Throw them outside and get a bunch of other college kids. Yeah, pay them less. Make sure they're gay and lame. Okay.
So right now, Godzilla's competing with Elemental. Not Elemental.
Oh, Elemental.
It's competing with Marvel.
Galaxy? Guardians?
Of Galaxy. It's competing with Napoleon. It's competing with Wells?
I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember the names.
For graphics?
Yeah, visual effects.
Visual art.
For the same category. Yeah.
I haven't seen Napoleon, but I want to watch it.
I want to watch it, too. It's coming on Apple TV soon, so it just...
I don't know. I've never seen it. No desire. Anyway, let's move on. All right, we're moving on to this next little piece of news. I think is really funny. But there's a little game called Pal World that came out just last week on Sunday, actually. Right? I think it was Sunday or Saturday, or maybe exactly. Yeah. And in the course of like 3 days, it sold 5 million copies on Steam.
And then on Wednesday, it sold 8 million.
So people that don't know what Powell is, it's like imagine giving guns to your Pokemons and start shooting people.
Yeah. And people are loving it. Now, there's two camps to this. Okay? There are people that absolutely love it. There are other people that absolutely hate it because they're claiming plagiarism. What's interesting is I can see why. Like if you look at some of the Powell World monsters, the pals, like they look like very similar to a lot of the Pokemon. Heck, some of them almost look like a one-to-one.
They have a thing called it's kind of like a marshmallow name. I can't remember like another name, but it's basically like
Digimon.
No, like Dynamaxed Eevee. You know how Eevee is like poofy, but it's like white and silvery. And then there's one that's called it's the quote unquote legendary Anubis, and it looks like Lucario.
Yeah, like it's they look fairly, but again, the gameplay and everything is very, very different.
It's yeah, it's fun because like the point isn't to capture your pals. The point is to
enslave them.
No, the point is to
kill them.
Create a build a base, grow, level up. It's just like a
Is it like Ark?
I guess I've never played Ark, so maybe if that's more aligned to it, then I would say so. Adding the pals is helps you out with building your town, your village, because mm-hmm. you know there's electric pals, there's water pals, there's
Pokemon. Yeah,
huh?
How you guys play it?
Yeah, I played it. I played with some friends at a server. Mm-hmm. So like it, and you can level up your own way. So like leveling up helps you get certain things like clothes or make bone arrows. And you know what's stupid about this? So if you want fire arrows, you need to make a fire bone arrow. If you want poison arrows, you need to make poison bone arrow.
Makes sense.
So dumb.
I'm like, what? What's that dumb? I want to make a fire arrow. I got to make it with fire?
No.
What is
the
madness?
The bow needs to be a fire bow, though.
Is it like an elemental?
Yes.
That makes sense.
No.
Yeah.
How does that now make sense?
Anyways.
Are you playing Tears of the Kingdom?
Anyways. I need to fix that. But like, it's fun. And then there's people, there's like pals that can raid you or people that can raid you, like enemy, like NPCs that can raid you. You can capture humans.
Capture humans. That's actually pretty cool.
You can enslave them and throw them in the bin.
Like real Pokemon.
There's messed up stuff too. You can like hang your pals on like a rope and then you can beat them. So they can work harder.
Hit me hard, daddy.
They can get depressed. Oh, so you have to like pet them or like... walk with them.
Let's keep the G rated, okay?
No, that's really all things. There's a pal that's like a busty thingy. If you look at it's like quote unquote Pokédex, it says oh it breeds with other pals but likes to breed with humans as well.
Dude, this is a furry's like
Gardevoir
heaven.
No, it's not Gardevoir. It's like a Salander, the black lizard thing for the fire dark type. The female, only the female
Salamander? One? Or whatever, Slazzle.
Slazzle, yeah. But, like, they gave her, like, a pink hair thingy and a pink, like, a heart thing on her chest and stuff. And, like...
Also, yeah, it gets offended by everything.
Yes, yeah. But it's...
I'm assuming, is it rated M then, or what?
No, I think it's, like, T.
No, because it's not very graphic. It's just insinuating.
But I didn't hear that there are mods...
Oh, yeah,
they did a Pokemon mod, and the guy who got the Pokemon mod got called by Nintendo, so he's like...
But here's the funny thing. So, and I was kind of watching this, and so if you know anything about Japan, one of the big things that's different in terms of like fair use is there is none.
Yeah.
Like they will catch you for anything. Like
if they feel like it.
I know that because I've also done like different anime openings analysis, and I've gotten flagged. And it's the stupidest thing, but other places are like, no, you're fine. It's fair use. If it's commentary, if it's this, they're like, it's okay. But yeah, they will go and they're like, nope, I don't care. You use a second or I don't care if you're talking about it. Nope, it's not.
Question, if it's a Korean
anime, I don't know about Korea.
That Japan produces? Like the God of High School of the Tower? Like, could you do that? Because like, oh, this is Korean, motherfucker. You better shut your mouth.
They have a distribution right.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, so, well, what's funny is their likeness and any of that, like they can call you out on it.
I don't think that they should make a big fuss of this.
No, but here's my thing, because here's what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
So the thing is, like, the creators and everything are, from what I understand, they're based in Japan as well.
Yeah. Yep.
So the thing is, like, if Game Freak really, really had an issue with this, they would have done anything in a second.
Well, there's two things.
They're actually fans, starting working, right?
Fans were taking.
Fans are having more.
No, but they were trying to prove that this was like, what's the word you're saying?
Fair use?
No.
Plagiarism?
Plagiarist.
Yeah, plagiarism.
Is they would get the 3D models from Pokemon and overlay them to the pals, and some of them were like 90% the same.
No, but.
Lycanroc, there's one like that. There was a melodic, there's like a melodic looking one, but you just take the head and put the snake one from Gen 3.
I don't know.
And you put that there, and then you give it like blue little things, and that's the new water type. And then after all this, people were like telling Nintendo, hey, you got to look into this. And then I think Nintendo tweeted out yesterday or today.
We're investigating. I don't think anything's going to come out of this because this game is so different. And but the Pokemon, like the ones that love guzzling on Pokemon, they're like, no, this is horrible. I'm like, first of all, I would hope that this would push Game Freak and Nintendo to make a better Pokemon game because all of the visuals of the game, even for Scarlet and Violet, why is it like this? It doesn't make any sense why they're stuck. It still looks like Sword and Shield, and even before that,
being played on the Switch. That's
yeah,
yeah, it's on the PC. The thing
you
is,
can't compare that.
But no, but like Odyssey, like all the other games, like even like Smash Brothers, looks better than what they have for the Pokemon main games, which just doesn't make sense.
It's but not optimized, and then it's in the Switch is an old.
But again,
now.
But again, the Ultimate and Odyssey that was a launch game look better than this.
You got to look at it this way too. Smash Bros is not an open world game. It's just one platform with lots of crazy shit happening in the background if you wanted to, and two characters fighting.
Same with Mario.
A lot easier to do than an open world game.
You got
a
load
Mario Odyssey. Mario Odyssey, you have a limit.
Xenoblade.
I don't know. I never played Xenoblade, so I can't.
That
tell you
looks
what it is.
Really good. Xenoblade Chronicles, all of them look good.
I can't tell you anything.
How's Monster Hunter?
Monster Hunter looked good. It looked really good for the Switch.
30 frames, but yeah.
It's 30. So again, doesn't make sense. I wish that they would.
I'll say this. I hope that this PAL World thing
kicks
Nintendo's ass into gear to make a better Pokemon game.
I don't think it's kicking into that. I think it's going to give them ideas.
Yeah, like they want, like that's going to strive because they can't just be like, well, let's just do this one gimmick and then don't give them all the Pokemon and then like make it pay $60 for a DLC so that they can get their Pokemon back and then use our Pokemon transfer fucking app to transfer them.
They can do that. But if they have competition,
they want to make it better. Digimon is nothing compared to Pokemon though in that sense.
Unfortunately,
is Digimon cooler on a lot of their stuff? Yes, but do they have the what's the word?
No, but I'm talking when they first came out about Pokemon and Digimon, like they were around the same time. Pokemon did not copy anything of Digimon. They did their own thing.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we could find YouTube videos and see if they did.
Yeah.
But let me tell you this much. When it comes to resemble different Pokemons from the game and Pokemon, what do you expect? I mean, Pokemon has created like over like 700 and something Pokemon?
1,000.
So there might be some designs that could be inspired by some of the stuff that Pokemon already has.
Yeah, but there's a lot that just kind of line up like 95%. Like there are, I think some are like, it's hard to, like what Jay Porin said, it's too hard to have an original idea with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because everything it's a copy of everything else. Even yeah,
especially
the Pokemon
if you grew
itself
up with that stuff, you're going to be inspired by making them.
Yeah.
But I think there were some where they just, let's
copy.
Take the head off of this and put it to this and then change it a little bit and this is the new PAL. And it's like, you didn't really do it. Like the Lucario thing.
Lucario?
What did
the Lucario
say?
Looking one.
What's the freaking Egyptian god, the dog?
Anubis.
Beef. It literally looks like Lucario, but it's like humanoid looking. It's more like a dog with a humanoid, but like it's long hair and then it's arms are at the same spot Lucario's are. The only difference is its legs are apart more and skinnier. There's a bit from RDC World where like, I don't have a case for this. Like, no, man, like, look at this. This is Anubis and this is Lucario. They look exactly the same. Their hands are there. Oh, yeah, but look, his legs are apart more and he's skinnier.
I have to see this to believe it.
Like, it's,
I'll have to see it too. I mean, I don't care.
So, like, but I'm saying, like, if there is some things where they did plagiarize, I feel like there is a percentage of where they plagiarize some things, but the core concept and the core ideas of this game outweighs everything. Like,
yeah,
like fighting raid bosses in a way better way is cool. And one, you don't need to be at level to fight them. Like, you can be play smart. Like, there was a group. They went to go fight this green mammoth, where it's like a grass type mammoth. They were level 10, and that thing was level 36. Like, we can't do damage, but like, let's do something to get this guy, like to beat him and catch him. So they all got wood and like charcoal, and then they all made a bunch of fire pits.
Oh, it was
a
forest.
They made 20 fire pits, and they hit him. It does one damage, one hit. You know, it chases after him, and it's running on top of the fire. So it's slowly ticking. It took them like an hour, and then it, then they caught it though. They, that, yeah, that's ingenious. Like, you can do something like that to be like, I can't capture you, but there's a way for me to capture you.
I wonder, again, I don't know how that would work with Pokemon. I don't know.
Like Titans, like the things we do, like instead of like, you know, have your Pokemon fight the Titans. Like, oh, let's.
But again, but you're changing. But now you're changing the mechanic, because now it's not turn based. Which again, for Final Fantasy, they changed it, and when they changed from turn based to what it is now, it's people, still yeah, I know, but they still lost their crap because they're like, no, Final Fantasy is always turn based.
Yeah, I get you.
So, and I don't remember, but I remember there are a lot of people who also had some issues with Arceus, because it was like you could fight him or you could just throw and catch him, right? If you're sneaky. Yeah. I wonder how people who love Pokemon, the way that it's set up now, how that would A, impact, if they would like that, and how that would impact multiplayer play. Because I'm pretty sure Power wouldn't do that.
You just have to be more creative. And I think that's the thing.
It feels like, from what I heard, I haven't played the game, but it just feels like it's very different gameplay with creatures that look like Pokemon. Yeah. That's about it.
What's cool is like once you get to a certain level, you can make your pal get a gun. So you, and like there's a green little rabbit guy, and like he's on
like
your
the Digimon.
Shoulder.
What's
he's
that on, Digimon's name? That-
I don't remember, but he's on your shoulders, and like you can just like, oh, there's some pals you need to take out, and he just AK.
Boricua Senpai. What's the name of that? That I forget his name. Who
the bunny that's green that has guns?
The one with the Gatling guns on his hands.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's from season 3.
Into watching the show. This that is,
I remember her talking about. It's I'm trying to remember his name, but it's
when they had the cards, right? Yeah,
cool. I like it.
Yeah.
That was actually a good season. Was it Digimon Tamers?
Yeah,
well, they were all Tamers, but they,
yeah, but that's what it's called. The US called it Digimon. That's a really good one, actually.
But I gotta say, going back to this. Game, just to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Regardless of what it's doing at the moment, it's making money. It's like the top game on Steam, for what I heard.
I mean, they got 8 million,
people are playing
8 million concurrent players,
it's
too.
It's second only to Counter-Strike right now, I think. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
I don't know, but I don't know. You know what? Let them have fun. Let them enjoy
it. Let them fight.
And if Nintendo comes and fight, let me get the popcorn so I can watch this.
I don't think Nintendo will do anything.
I don't think they'll do it. Honestly speaking.
I just want to see what happens. Oh, I'm so excited.
I hate when people, especially on the internet, they start complaining. I'm like, oh, you guys should defend this, when the company's like, no, I don't even care.
All I hope is that because this gets popular, that Nintendo will think, maybe we should think about how we make Pokemon even better. I don't want them to be complete, because they really had nothing to really go,
go against. No one, there was no one strong enough to go against them. Like, they had, I can't remember what the game was, but it came out a couple years ago where it was Tepin? Yeah, it's called Tepin. You have your Tepin monsters, and it's kind of, it's like Pokemon, but you can do...
I thought you were saying Tekken. I was like,
no,
what?
Tepin.
Tepin? I've never heard of
you
it.
You have monsters like that.
Okay.
And you can do...
Direct competitor of Pokemon.
So, it's similar to Pokemon. You have a ball, and there's shinies and stuff. But, like, if your Tepin monster runs out of PP, you know, then they use their stamina. They have a stamina gauge, and that can kill them.
Okay,
and then, Pokemon,
and they came up with, I would say they technically came up with the heavy and light attacks, like in the Arceus, because you could use that move with more stamina or less stamina, and it does more damage. So stuff like that, and that was cool, but like it just didn't catch. Like
I didn't even heard of it. Yeah, I've never heard of that at all.
It was a cool looking game. It was cool, but I was like, this is gonna die.
I mean, you can see like different mock-ups of different games that kind of look like Pokemon, but they haven't been Pokemon.
But yeah, again,
I do feel like they should have. Let them have their own.
Have
thing.
A competitor.
Yeah,
Power. That Power. If it can.
I didn't mean consider a fire. Competitor. I feel like it's a different genre with creatures similar to Pokemon.
But again, I hope it makes it the Nintendo think, okay, this is somewhat similar. Let's make Pokemon better.
Yeah, because from what the
that's all
the,
I want. That's all I want. I don't want this bullcrap anymore. With like their some of their like what is it the Paldean versions of their Pokemon suck.
Well, did you hear about some of the rumors for the upcoming games?
Do I get all my Pokemon now?
So they're good. So apparently there's going to be like a, like, you know, Black and White 2. There supposedly is going to be Scarlet Violet 2. And it's a couple years in the future. And then you go against, so if you have a save file and you play the DLC, you go against your trainer, but you have to redo everything from before.
That doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound like gold and silver. It sounds like they're trying to do it, but
black
it sounds
and white
worse.
Too. Not cool. But then also there's so there's two. So there's a Pokemon, but there's two things that there's two. There's one thing confirmed or two things. One, Game Freak is making a Pokemon game, and then the what was the one who did really Diamond Shining Pearl?
They're oh, that crappy one.
Yeah, but apparently rumor one of the rumors is it could be a Heart Gold. Soul Silver.
I don't want it like that.
But it's incorporating the crystal stuff too.
I don't know.
If it does, okay. I'm for it.
We'll talk about this when Shark King comes back.
Pokemon Day is what, next month or in March? One of the two.
I don't know. But anyway, doesn't matter. Okay.
Give power to Shot.
Yeah, we're gonna move on to our final topic of tonight, and I like this one. Okay. This one I thought about, and I think it's gonna be. We're gonna have some interesting answers. So. I can't remember what I was watching, but I was watching something on Instagram or TikTok, something like that. And there was a panel where they had Elijah Wood, and I don't know if it's a panel, if it was like a show, but they were asking them, if you had a choice to erase one movie from existence, what movie would it be and why? And so I kept thinking, you know what? That actually would be a really good topic for us. To see what movie, and here I'll make it this: if we erase this movie, we erase everything that it impacted, as well.
Okay.
Or if that's what you don't want, that's fine. I don't want that to change it. Your answer, if you already have one, but if you could erase, I just want to know what movie what that would be and why. Why would you erase this movie from existence?
Mine's gonna be. A cop out because I'd never watched it because
no!
I
want to
be safe.
Okay.
I want to be safe.
No, you
which
can't.
Movie?
Yeah, a movie. I think I clarified.
Said which? Did he say the movie or?
No, he didn't say the movie. That's why I didn't want to hear it.
Jokingly, I was going to say Godfather 3 because I've never seen it and I heard that wasn't that good.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
it's not good. But
they didn't echo anything.
It did echo. They like made another director's cut. It's called Coda something.
Was it good?
I like it.
Okay. I'll go first if you want me. Okay. If you want to go first.
All right.
Sorry. Okay. I had to think about this because I was like, you know what? What movie? I also thought about its impact as well.
Oh, Boy the Heron was part of the virtual effects. My bad. It came back to my head.
No. Animation. Different category.
Yeah, okay. It's not visual. And you know what? Continue. I want to say my thing, okay?
Oh, all right.
Okay. I had to think about this law really, really like extensively. And I know.
Hard?
Yeah.
That's what you said.
I didn't say that though. That's what you said. And I know that Japan was thinking of one movie in particular that I was going to say, but it's actually not going to be that one that you're thinking.
It shouldn't be because I was thinking what you said.
He actually said it.
Mine is going to be this. If I could erase any movie, I would erase the remake or the reimagination, the live action of The Lion King. The reason being I've thought about this movie is, first of all, Disney has had this issue where they can't come up with anything original anymore. They just can't. And so they're like, well, let's start making remakes, live action remakes of the movies that we've made before, these beloved classics. Okay. A lot of them they're okay. They're not that good, but the Lion King, the one that people were like, you have to redo this in live action, was horrible. Like, the expressions on these animals not non-existent. The way that they produce the music, especially with when they have Nala and Simba sing, horrible.
The sex song?
Sex song? The Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Yeah.
Like, it was horrible. And it just, any type of magic that you thought that Lion King should have was gone in this movie. And it made $1 billion. It's like one of the highest grossing movies. And they've continued to have these with live action remakes. And it wasn't the first successful live action remake, but this is the one that when I saw it, I was like, they have completely lost it. They tried to make something new. They tried to add little bits. Like in Aladdin, they added like an extra song for Jasmine that honestly felt out of place because it didn't match any of the other songs. Even though the newer versions of the songs were not as good as the original, they added something. Okay. Mulan, horrible. They didn't make it a musical. They took out tons of stuff. They made her Mary Jane.
The movie had some potential.
Not when they made her Mary Jane.
Hold on. When I saw the trailer, let me correct this. When I saw the trailer, it looked they added something else. It looked a little bit different.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough.
So they're like, oh, crap, that didn't work. Okay. And I know Lion King came out before that, but my whole thing is like they literally knew that they can just throw out anything and they can make $1 billion.
And guess what? They're making a sequel of that. They're making, not a prequel sequel. Mufasa.
Yeah, Mufasa's movie. Yeah, and I hate it. I hated that this movie. And the thing is, like, people, this is what I hate. People have talked crap about this movie. They're like, this movie has no magic. It's gone. But people went to take their kids to watch it, and they made $1 billion. Like, I don't understand how this is happening.
It's not for adults. It's for the kids.
Even then, like, if I was a kid, like, why would I want to watch this live action versus the cartoon?
Kid.
No. If you showed this to a kid, you showed them both versions, I guarantee you they would watch the live action. I mean, the original cartoon better. It is more lively. It is more impactful. Like, all of the stuff, even when Mufasa dies, there's nothing there. I remember when I talked to Jose, like, when Mufasa dies, like, that one was one of the movies that hit him the most. And the Lion King, the live action, nothing. It's like everything that made that movie magical and special was gone in that. And I hate it. And I would erase that one, because that one just made Disney even more complacent. And that's why Disney's where it's at now.
Okay.
I guess.
There's other stuff, yeah, there's right? There's other stuff. But that would be, that to me, that'd be like, that's the pinpoint. That's like the pinnacle of
where they can start taking advantage of live action.
Yeah.
Thinking that they can make more money. They can make money off of it by adding slight differences from the animated.
Or none at all.
And get away with it.
It's basically getting the whole live action treatment that, you know, how anime has the live action treatment. That's basically what they did.
Yeah, but they do it better or not, or worse.
Yeah, but worse. Anyway, hate it. But yeah, that's my pick.
Okay, that's cool.
Well, that's rough, because
that's actually a really great pick, David.
I think so too.
I get behind that for sure.
Jokingly, just because of
I know which one you're talking. Okay. Jokingly, you already said you're joking. Godfather Part 3 that you haven't seen.
I have another one, but one that would, just because I wouldn't have shared this to Hulse, because I felt like he got really offended by it, was E.T. Because I sent him. I sent him an Instagram picture of E.T. Like, a girl has an E.T. tattoo on her lower back, and then he's like, E.T. probe here, and then the girl's like laying on her chest and her face, and then you can tell she's like opening her butt, and then the text of the month's like, you like that? And he's like, what the fuck is this? He was so mad.
You defiled an absolute iconic movie.
I did not want to watch this.
I was laughing for like 15 minutes before I sent that.
You need to repent for that, Diego. You need to repent.
Cut the church.
Okay. No, for reals, though, it's rough, because, like, if you said it changes the...
Let's say it doesn't. Let's say it does.
I like this.
Okay.
Go, Japan.
Okay, so for me, I'm trying to remember the movie, because I'm trying to remember if it was... I think it was Superman Returns.
That's the second one. Oh, no, you're talking about the 2004 one? Yeah, I remember that.
I think it was after the Christopher Nolan DC movies, around that.
Was it?
I'm trying to remember.
That's, I think it was around, yeah, maybe around...
So I'm trying to remember here and there, but...
2007.
I think they should just keep the Christopher Nolan movies and just don't touch anything after that, and come up with a proper plan on how to make other DC movies.
Wait, no, I'm confused. Superman Returns, you're talking about the one that continues the Christopher Reeve ones?
No.
Oh, you're just talking about Superman, the
DCEU,
Man of Steel, that's what you're talking about. Okay,
that's the one.
What?
That's the one.
That's the one you would erase from existence?
Yes, because I think when they were... okay, let me tell you why.
Okay, tell me why, because... Okay, yeah, go ahead. I won't say anything.
Okay.
Not yet.
I think... Oh, the Christopher Nolan movies that they made with DC. Oh, of course, I'm going to be biased with
my... I know you are. You're already sucking them off free, man.
Let me just tell you this, though. Nobody can disagree that the DC, those movies were amazing. Everything after that felt like attempts to make a good movie, and they haven't had any success. They make
certain ideas, like Batman be Superman, hey, do you bleed, Martha, and all that jazz.
I think I agree with
everything
him there.
Affected into, hey, let's make you more DC movies. Because Marvel is doing it, let's
beat because up by them. The time they were doing the first Superman film, I think we had already gotten the Avengers.
The Man of Steel? I think you're right.
So they were already like, we need to do Justice League like
yeah.
now. It's like, okay, so we got five films to do, and then we'll do just like, no, two films, Justice League. What?
And because that movie made money, people say, well, let's make more. But hey, we need to catch up with the Avengers. So they start like adding that Justice League, and then they added all the other movies, and then everything was a complete
mess. A lot of it was like, a majority of the DC films were just
meh.
Mediocre at best. The only one that was really Versus actually Prey. Very good was the first Wonder Woman movie.
And the I hate the ending.
The ending of Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Yeah. Ending, but oh, yeah. But like...
Yeah, Ares was just a little bit weird. I don't think it was awful to where it ruined the movie, but it did drop it a point or two for me.
Yeah, I would say the same. Really
but to say that was the best one out of all of them, like, kind of sucks.
But yeah, think about this. Like... Yeah. I wish they spend like a proper time and don't feel the pressure of Marvel at that Catch particular up. Time just to like, hey, we should make movies because it's becoming a lot
they had
better.
FOMO, severe right? FOMO.
And because of the rush, executives like, hey, we need to make decisions. We need to make cuts. We need to do this. We need to do that. What's his name? Zack Snyder?
Yeah. Zack Snyder, yeah.
You know, the whole issue would happen with him into the movies and then like John Whedon coming to fix the movie and then make a mess and everything in the mess and they make a 4-hour movie and they're like, oh, it doesn't matter, just kidding, it's just like for looks. And everything else collapses under that. So at this particular point, nothing for DC has been like, wow, this is amazing, which kind of sucks. I do feel like they should, even though like I'm a big Marvel fan, I think DC never had the opportunity to become, at least make the attempts in becoming like a good universe because of where how they started.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I guess I can see that. I don't think Man of Steel was nowhere near as bad, yet there it was a controversial ending for sure when he kills Zod. And it was still, yeah. I mean, who it understands, yeah. But
I mean,
I would
recycle that particular plot into other movies. How many times have we seen Zod after that movie?
Batman movies. No.
No, we only saw him
because he becomes.
He was in the Flash movie.
He was in the Flash
because
he was. Oh yeah, he does technically become Abomination.
He does become a dumb, yeah.
Basically, see,
is he in the Justice League? No, he didn't. No. Did you say Justice League? No, he's not in the Justice League. He's in Batman v Superman, but it's not really him. It's just his corpse.
But still, they keep bringing him back. Like, come on.
They use him as a catalyst for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Which is like, really?
It's lazy writing.
I would have gone with Batman v Superman more, but...
No, but think about it.
Superman
it's because
started it.
Yeah, because that movie made money. I mean, Christopher Nolan movies, they made a lot of money, but it was a self-contained environment. They didn't touch anything
Nothing grows
else.
From it.
Exactly.
And I think what helped him with that too, Christopher Nolan... Him making those movies, you can make a Batman film without having to be participating in the universes of whatever they want to do, like a DC universe, you know? Because the Batman with Robert Pattinson, it has nothing to do with the DC cinematic universe. It's its own standalone thing. And I think Christopher Nolan's
and Batman interesting enough, Christopher Nolan, he was a producer in the Superman movie. He actually like provides some inputs in there.
In Man of Steel? Mm-hmm. So you can't hate it. You can't erase it.
No, but money. Still. That's what he did.
Still,
he produced money.
I feel like because of that, people felt like, oh, this is going the right direction, but they were rushing it. They weren't able to complete making a proper story with those characters. I mean, you can say like Green Lantern going a lot farther, but there was a success in having their own little universe into that. And they should just stick with that with all their characters first and then put it together.
I can't wait to hear Jose what he says about this. I kind of want to hear his take, but yeah, that's fine.
I
okay.
got mine finally.
Okay, finally. Let's hear it.
So, even though this is... Okay. The sequel for Star Wars. The
7, 8, and 7 then.
7 onward.
You you can't really pick a whole franchise.
Well, you said if it does that, when it affects everything.
Yeah, forward. but you're gonna say seven episodes. You're gonna say episode seven.
As much as I loved it.
What?
Because
I think you're misunderstanding.
Okay, then episode eight.
I don't want you to just erase like it was a callous word. I want to say like, this movie you did not like, and episode that's what you want to erase. Okay, you want to go episode eight? Okay.
Because it showed us when we saw that film, and I'm going to be like Miles with it. They did not have a plan on what the hell they were doing making a trilogy. Because they told us right off the bat with episode seven, it was going to be a trilogy.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And then episode eight came out. We were thinking all these things, coming up with our own ideas. And nothing was connected to nothing. Just characters and that's it. And finding out that they had no plan, there was no roadmap for this franchise, for the sequel franchise, like, get rid of it. Like, it just frustrated people. Like, it was just terrible. Like, 8 was just not good in multiple ways. It was just a big bag of dog shit. And it really put that film really disappointed Star Wars fans, and since that film, that it's caused them to not have faith in Star Wars.
People have.
I felt like a lot of people, but the thing is, like, it's regaining that faith. That's a difference than keeping the faith.
Yeah, they have like Dave Filoni, who's now in charge of the bigger picture of Star Wars.
They have to do so much, to fix it up.
Yeah, they had to fix it a lot.
They had to fix a lot of stuff, like to get things rolling, because they didn't have any plans. So like, it really affected it.
And here's the thing, because it kind of sucks, because the director who made this movie, which is Rian Johnson, he gets all the hate.
Well, he deserves one part. He did not watch the seventh movie. He didn't say, I don't need to, I'm just going to do my own shit. That's on him.
No, but, okay.
That is on him. If he would have done at least a little bit of his homework, he could tie in things, make things how they are. And even if they tied in some things, I don't know how the fans react. Well, but no matter what anybody says, and I will agree with this on Miles paraphrasing, if a movie devises the fan, is so divisive with fans, it's not a good movie. Sure. Unanimously has to be a good movie. Unanimously positive, it's going to be a good movie, no matter what. Obviously, there's always outliers where people don't like certain films, but that's like 1%. Mm-hmm. But if a movie is unanimously well-received, well-liked, well-everything, it's a good movie. If it's down the middle, it's not a good movie, period. You can like a bad movie. I like bad movies, but don't say that it's good because of whatever. You can say, no, this movie's bad, but I like it.
I was going to say on this, like, going back into Rian Johnson, he had the one who had to like suffer the most. I don't think it's his fault, honestly speaking. It's
partially his fault.
Not necessarily. Let me think of it from the perspective of like the company, Disney, the evil corporation. Hey, we just have fire, what's his name? The guy who directed Star Trek. John something Adams.
Like the original director of episode 8? Yes. Or are you talking about J.J. Abrams?
J.J. Abrams, sorry.
Oh, okay. They didn't fire him. They literally were like, okay, well, the whole thing was like they didn't even have an outline. Right. Not even an outline. They just said, you take it wherever you want.
So they were moving as they go. And like, okay.
Horrible.
Right, exactly. Rian Johnson, he made good movies. You should watch some of his movies. Knives Out are basically his.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he doesn't make good movies.
But think about this: they didn't have a particular roadmap when they hire him, like, hey, just do whatever you want, and we'll like use the force or fix it. I don't even know.
What the heck?
But it really sucked because a lot of people do care about Star Wars. I like Star Wars to a particular point. I'm not in love with the Star Wars like so many people, but I respect it. But the fact that they're able to make a mess on this, I do agree. I think that they should handle it with more care and be able to have a proper map of how they needed to have. Even like the ninth movie
was better,
but at the same time...
The ninth movie had to play cleanup.
It still sucked.
Yeah, it was not good. Nine was not good either way. It was playing cleanup the whole time to get you to be like, oh, this is how Episode 8 works now.
Yeah. And bitch, even then, like, there's some, like, things that they left it open. I do wonder, because in the past, when Episode 1, 2, and 3, people were hating so much. Like, how can they do this?
One wasn't now, hated really no, much.
No, oh, yes, it was. One was.
Yeah, because there was a lot of talking and no more action. Like, even in The Simpsons, you know this.
The Federation trades? I didn't want to know about the Galactic Federation trades, but they talk about that, like, for the majority of the film.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder what's going to be like in the future. If people are going to go back and say, oh, they're pretty decent movies. But
I doubt it.
Regardless. Think so, with how divisive it was.
But regardless, I do feel like, yes, I agree. I think that should be erased. And if they actually had more time to think about this and plan it up and not worry about, oh, we got to start with, we need to make a movie right away. I couldn't be a lot better.
It's just, yeah, it's just they didn't have planning, and then with it, because like it's hilarious that they let those directors kind of freeball whatever the fuck they want to do, whereas like the Marvel films that the directors who aren't the biggest directors directing films, they told them what to do. Like, you have to direct it this way. With the TV shows, you have to do it this way. Who's the director? Me or is it Disney? Well, Disney was the director.
You also have to think about this at that particular time. Even recently, most of the movies that Disney was basically controlled by producers, not the directors.
But that's what I mean.
That was a big conflict
as
well.
But that's what I mean. Like,
they were like, we need
why
to have
didn't
this.
They do that with Star Wars?
Because
we'll never know.
Well, that particular time, they recently acquired Star Wars. I'm like, okay, when you start making movies, when you start.
Yeah, it was just really poorly planned.
Like mess. Yeah, they didn't plan it properly.
And they have been playing cleanup this entire time. Like, they have two good shows, Mando and Ahsoka.
I don't watch the other ones. I heard Andor is good, but I've never seen
it. That's it. But, like, that's all? Like,
yeah, Boba Fett was horrible. Well, no, it was to have a couple of good episodes, but
then, yeah, when they brought in the Mandalorian, when they did,
that was it.
Those first three episodes were crap.
The scooter, the motorbike, that's horrible.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that's a turning point as well, because I think 7 was a recycle.
They still played it safe. It was basically safe. Episode 4, but
yeah, it was Episode 4 with bigger bang.
Yeah, but well, okay. Last but not least, Boricua Senpai, how about you? We want to hear.
Well, ET, what right? You
would only pick one?
Yes.
Only pick one, yeah. You can only pick one.
There's so many I can pick.
Are you going to go with the one you told me earlier?
No, I won't go with the one you told me earlier, only because as annoying as that fan base is, there's not much else going on, so I can kind of just, like, whatever, it is what it is.
Okay.
What it is.
I'm going to pick one off a personal vendetta, and it's Aragorn.
Ooh, yeah.
That came out in 06. So you had the blueprint of the amazing LOTR trilogy, right? Absolute amazing. Amazing is the best way to summarize that trilogy. I actually like the actors they picked in that, but it just fell flat on its face. Nothing about it was good. It ruined a series of books for me. It didn't ruin the book series. It was just, I was looking forward to it. And I'm like, oh, they did an amazing job with LPR. They can do something similar. Maybe not to the same critical acclaim, but great enough for a fellow nerd to enjoy it. And
yeah,
they butchered that movie from top to bottom. The scripting was weird. The directing was awful. The cinematography was garbage. Again, I don't blame the actors. I blame, I guess, the writing and the directing. It crushed me, especially because there's nothing else to fall back on it. There's no other saving grace for it.
They still
haven't fixed it, and that bothers me.
Yeah, this is how bad the film was. They were going to make all the books, and then when how bad the first film flopped and didn't make any money, they canceled everything. That was supposed to be a quad.
Isn't there 5 books?
No, there's saga, 4
books.
Well, there's technically 5.
There's technically 5.
But there's 4 is the main story. Then there's an after story now.
Yeah. Okay.
But like, that was supposed to be like a whole franchise, like Lord of the Rings, and they butchered it to hell. And to add to this, the mid-2000s and late-2000s was always making adaptations of books or comics, whatever it be, and they changed so much that like it wasn't the original source; it just had the name of the source. And that's what I didn't like.
I think there's two things that come to mind that I remember. I was like, what the heck was this? Was the first one was with Saphira, right? So that lost me. Stupid. But the second one was, and I forget, you know the story better than I do, but his mentor or whatever, the one that's helping him.
Yeah.
The way that they find out he's a, was it a dragon rider out? In the movie, what is it? He's like in the creek, and then he comes up and he just pulls up and he's like, you're a dragon rider. I was like, what?
He's getting suspicious.
Yeah.
And then he's like, he sees it and then he grabs him. It's like during the campfire.
Yeah,
he's
something like that.
Dragon rider, what is going on? Like, he's freaky. Like, he's like, how does this happen?
And I was like, wait a minute.
It's a great scene in the book. Like, when you read it, you're like, oh shit, well, how does he know that means this? Yeah.
But I swear in the movie, just it didn't make sense. Like, it literally, for me, it felt like it came out of nowhere that he saw that and he does it.
It's like he had like sixth sense. He's like,
yeah, I was like, in the movie, there were like hints and stuff that he would know. And I was like, I just remember thinking this, the delivery and everything just felt flat, and I was like, ugh, this. I did like, I think maybe I'm different with you, but I didn't mind the actual fight with at the end.
Oh, with the Fuhrer, whatever he's called.
I don't remember his name.
I honestly didn't finish the film. I left. I also hated the freaking Scar, because the Scar was literally just an E.
Oh yeah.
I was like, you're gonna make it
E for Aragorn.
Apparent for Aragorn, like, oh my god, yeah. This is stupid.
I have another one.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing more. You only get one.
Dang it.
You can tell us off air.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's good. That movie, because I was looking forward to it. I was enamored by the books, and they butchered it. And there's no redemption, unfortunately, yet on it.
Disney bought it, right?
Yeah.
It crushed me. Yeah, they bought, and that's another thing that bothers me. That's why I wish it wasn't. Disney. So that, because if it was made properly, Disney can F off and never touch that movie.
No, but you
now they have a hold of it.
But you'd be surprised. Like, Disney is doing quite good with Percy Jackson. I gotta say, like, it's...
Percy Jackson's very good.
People are really
that's
loving
fine,
it.
But that's the direct author involvement, which is great, which I applaud. But we know if Disney doesn't have to bring in the original...
I think they should. That's I think creator, I think it should
they're,
be...
They're not going to save money so that they can no. do their own little things with it.
See, so. I do feel like it should be a requirement. If you're actually bringing a book or a comic or something, you should bring the person who created it to get some input on that. I think that should be like a requirement.
Yeah, that doesn't always save it, though. I mean, I don't know if you watched Game of Thrones, but look at how that collapsed. I actually think it collapsed well before the last season.
Wasn't it because they didn't have the final book and that you're just making it up as they go?
Dude, he's not going to finish the final book, too. No,
but he was on the board for the writing, direct creative writing, and he, as the author, gave him the major events that would occur, and he specified which events had to happen. Everything in between, what you would consider filler or somewhat insignificant, was left up to the writers of the show. Like, they can fill in the gaps however they wanted to. But the main events were literally part of the contractual agreement that they had to complete. And even with that, knowing all the major events, I think the show collapsed even before getting to the final season, which I know I'm probably in the minority for that.
I still
enjoyed the show, don't get me wrong, but the last two seasons I did not find enjoyable at all, and arguably the third to last season was also getting to that point where I'm like, bleh.
I believe it. I talked to people that were like hating on the last season when it first came out.
They're still hating, is what I've heard. But
okay, still, Echoes is the worst.
I'm just saying that is. I see where you're coming from, and I appreciate the thought. But even that didn't save Game of Thrones. So I think it has more to do with the passion of the actual author or the creator of whatever media source it is. And I imagine Christopher Paolini, which is the name of the Aragorn author, would do a fantastic job, because if you read Aragorn, you can see that it has influences of Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, and like he meshes all these mythologies and their mythos like all together, which makes for a great story. Kind of earlier to the point of Palworld ripping off Pokemon, as some people would say, but to your point, it's like they draw inspiration or are heavily influenced by it.
Right. On top of that, he's a certified genius. Like
in certified genius?
Certified genius. Because I think in the first or second book, he you learn some of the Elvish language, and he in the back he has a how to pronunciate, and how what the words mean in the
well,
back.
That's what J.R. Yeah, Tolkien did.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, Tolkien. Oh, he created that. Like his own
yeah.
thing.
Just I think
like,
he took what, it. I think he's using that. Yeah, right. The huh? Elven and I language.
Think he wrote the book when he was 14, or started yeah. them when he was yeah. 14.
Oh, so he used J.R.R. Tolkien's Elvish language, right, for the book. Or did he create his own?
He based it off of it, but it's not completely it.
It's his own creation. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like that's crazy. So I mean, yeah. I'll say this: if I hear that Christopher Paolini is working with Disney to make Aragorn, I don't know if it's a movie or a show, I'm going to be a little bit more okay with it. But like, I need to watch the first episode or second episode, and if it's good, I will be like clapping my hands.
Especially if he's involved, because I think he'd have to protect his IP. Right. You would imagine he would.
I mean, imagine when they did that back in 2006. He was like a young adult. He was probably like 19 or 20. And to see his work turn to shit, I would have been just the biggest sore spot for the longest time. And if Disney's going to do it, I would have been like, if I'm the author, like
I need to make Disney,
I need to be in, I need to be in the writing room with you guys. Like, I don't want no one messing it up. And they're like, okay, we'll do that. We'll let you do it, Mr. Christopher Paolini. You know,
no. But Hoss, you make a point too. Like, I know I mentioned that yes, you need to have the author involved, but not everything, of course, it's gonna be gold.
Just but, not change certain stupid shit.
But recently, and, well, the thing is recently too, though, I'm fine with, there has been a lot of involvement.
Liberties. I'm okay with creative liberties. It just has to be done
in a
specific way, right? Like an artistic way that is appealing, which is incredibly difficult to do. But if you can do it, then hey, I don't care. That's fine.
Props to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they should create
their own IP. The boys have had a lot of creative liberty. It's not anything remotely close to the graphic novels, but I'm okay with it because it's not even close.
Yeah, such a good show.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, we'll see what happens. That's all we can do. Well, guys, thanks so much for this inaugural episode, video episode, Chivino Podcast. We have more to come. This is what's going to be the standard now. So if this is your first time watching and you want to hear what we've done before, go to Spotify, go to Apple Podcasts. That's where we have all our stuff. And listen to us and get caught up on who we are there. We also have all of our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter social networks at Chivino Podcast, capital C, capital N, capital P. We'll see you guys and chat you guys there. Signing off, this is David the Smash Fan.
Mr.
Japorian.
Oh my gosh. And Boricua Senpai.
And this is Chivino Podcast.